Hey, you guys, if you are a fan of the pod and want to support us, you can give us 5 stars on iTunes or Spotify.
If you're listening on Google Podcasts or something like that, please consider not being a loser. Thanks and enjoy this episode.
I'm scared that I might be the five in question, Nicole.
You're not the five in question. You're like at least an eight, probably a nine. You are a 10. I take it back, you're a 10.
Mystic balls.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, Cheyenne.
What's up with you?
I'm in my new apartment. So
Can I know I
exciting.
need to get like a whole ass tour later. How's the decor coming along? Uh-oh.
It's going well, but yeah, it's exciting stuff. Oh my gosh, my
Goose
dog, if he doesn't
literally
shut the fuck up. Goosey,
call
come here.
PETA.
Anyway, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, okay.
Things are feeling a little bleak lately from like a
Well, things are
geopolitical
bleak.
standpoint.
Totally. The geopolitics is so rough right now.
Yeah, the war's been memeified.
Yeah. I have nothing intelligent to say about it, so I probably won't, but.
No, that's really all I have to say about it too, is that it's been memeified, and the Biden address was just so tough to watch too. I was texting you and I was like, I can't watch this man try and say anything right now.
Yeah, but he didn't poop his diapy, so that was a win in my book.
I just like, what is it too much to ask? Like,
Like a non-senile president.
I would just love a sprightly, I don't
55 year
know. Yeah,
old.
55 would be so solid. Yeah,
Yeah.
I truly would love that. I think that would make a lot of like a 55-year-old non-career millionaire politician, whatever. This isn't really our lane, but
IDK, like, okay, hold on 1 second. Sorry. I'm back, sorry.
That's okay.
No, I gave him a bully stick. I'm not sure what a bully stick
I was gonna
is.
say I'm not a dog owner. There's like a whole vocab for dog owners that I'm just
It's
like not aware of.
basically like a dog pacifier. Like you give it to them and they literally are like, okay, bye. Like I'm good. You don't need to talk to
Oh,
me.
is it? It's a treat.
Yeah, it's like a rawhide perhaps. I don't really know. It smells nasty though,
Oh
but
my God, my friend's dog the other day, she gave him a pig ear.
oh my God,
Have
I've
you
known people
aware
to
of
do
this?
that. I'm aware. I've not done it because it sounds
I
heinous.
just like don't think I could like it. Like I love dogs, not that much.
Yeah, well, you know what you do love when you have a dog?
Silence.
Silence. So you're
You
like,
sound like
sure.
such a mom right now. You're like drinking your little mommy juice, saying that you love the silence.
No, I know. Literally, I'm like, oh, I gave the baby his pacifier, and now I can let mommy work. Mommy's recording her podcast. That's how I feel.
You
I
imagine
do
having an
like.
actual child?
No, I can't. And also, I don't want to be cringe, but I really subscribe to the whole dog mom lifestyle. Like, I love telling people I have a dog. I love showing them pictures of my
I mean, your
dog.
dog has an
I.
Instagram account, so
Yeah, I should really update his
it's
Instagram.
about
I
as dog
really
mom
feel
as
like
it gets.
I could really get something with that. Like, if I tried, I feel like I could make some coin.
Like, you want Goose to be an influencer?
Yeah, I want my dog to be an influencer.
Did we not just a mere two, three episodes ago talk about influencer families and how detrimental they are?
Yeah, but
Are you think
Goose
because
is
he's a
not
dog,
gonna
it's different?
Yeah, he's not gonna be so like he's not gonna be aware of the ridicule that he's subjected to as an influencer.
Exactly. So. He doesn't have to get into college one day.
Exactly. Exactly. No one's going to Google his name and be like, ooh, you know, I can't date you or something.
Wait, I want a dog so bad. I really feel like, I genuinely feel like a woman that's like unable to conceive. Like when they see a baby or like a stroller. When I see a dog or a cat, actually, I feel that way. I feel that longing and that want.
Yeah, well, that's how you know in your heart that you're like maybe sort of ready. Oh my God, I've been having baby fever really hard lately.
I know. You keep texting me that you want to have a baby and it's making me really nervous because I thought that the pod was your baby.
No, it is. No, it is. But
and
then
I thought maybe I was also your baby.
You're my baby. No, you are my baby.
Okay,
but
well,
then I went to
replace me.
No. Because I went to Dave and Buster's.
That's why you have baby fever. You went to Dave and Buster's.
No,
and you want to get
that
pregnant?
No, I wanted to get pregnant, and then I went to Dave and Buster's, and I was like, oh, I don't want one of these little like snot-nosed fools. This is not in my future.
Yeah.
So my baby fever is cured.
Okay, so just go to Dave and Buster's the next time you feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually wild. I went at like 9 p.m. Literally, I went at 9 p.m. on a Saturday, and like children just running amok. Their parents are so drunk. Drinks are cheap as hell. And I almost beat up a kid because he was taking too long on the Flappy Bird machine, and he kept playing game after game, and I was sitting behind him, and I was like, you done yet? Like, some of us want to fucking turn.
Wait, there's a Flappy Bird machine?
Dude, yeah.
You can't find Flappy Bird anywhere.
I know.
The second I got my iPad, all I wanted to do was play Flappy Bird, right? Because that's what I would do growing up. Every Sunday I'd wake up, I'd steal my dad's iPad, I'd play Flappy Bird. And by growing up, I mean between like 8th and 10th grade, because I think that's when Flappy Bird was around. So I was a teenager. But yeah, the person who made it got rid of it, right? Because he was like, I just can't sleep at night knowing I'm like keeping people on their like evil screens. Like, shut the fuck up and get off your high horse. Just take my money. Let me play Flappy Bird. Like, the world is a literal disaster. And you want me to have to play like, what, Subway Surfer? Like an idiot?
Yeah. Remember Temple Run too, dude?
Oh, I have Temple Run.
You do?
Yes, I have. I don't really honestly use my iPad all that much. I had like a phase where I was just excited to have one.
You were an iPad kid.
And I was such an iPad kid. And now I don't really know what to do with it. Because I feel like the people that use it the most are people that like read a lot of eBooks. And I'm very like into having a physical copy of a book.
Totally. Me too.
But yeah, so I just was like, okay, what are all the greatest hits? Like, what should I get on here? And I actually use it to entertain my friends' boyfriends when they come over, like their little kids.
Yeah,
I give them my iPad and they play like
Temple
Run. You give
them some screen time.
Candy Crush. Yeah, that's when they get all their screen time.
Yeah.
We take away the screen time if, you know, they're misbehaving.
Yeah.
Wait, along those lines. Mm-hmm. Other than the tweet that you once twat of that's my favorite tweet ever twat. Other than that, my second favorite tweet ever twat was that girl that said, I love hanging out with my friends' boyfriends. I feel like Jane Goodall.
Oh my God. No, literally.
I think about that tweet quarterly.
Oh my God. No, that tweet's amazing.
The audacity to tweet that and just.
The truth, though. The literal truth. You feel like you're in a daycare. I mean, Jane Goodall, that's like a little primitive. I would equate them as to like human children, though, at least, you know?
Oh my God. Wait, we skipped over this. Why the fuck were you at Dave and Buster's?
Oh, my boyfriend really wanted to go. And I was like, fine, I'll like wine and dine you and take you to Dave and Buster's.
Did you feel like Jane Goodall?
I really put on a brave face, and I did have fun. Like, wait, it was that a fun sounds, experience. No, that sounds
fun. I'd go to Dave and Buster's, like, with a guy. I think that would be funny.
Yeah, and it was more fun to just, like, talk about how, like, shitty the experience was. Not that it was, like, super shitty, but just, like, it was so crowded. More people at Dave and Buster's than in a bar on a Saturday night. Like, if I'm going to get COVID, it's going to be from Dave and Buster's 100%.
Oh, I don't think anyone would argue with that.
There was, like, fresh babies just at Dave and Buster's. Like, some mom wielding her like, four kids, and one of them is literally 3 days old. And I'm, like, why? She's brandishing a baby at
Dave and Buster's. She's, like, holding it in front of her and warding everyone off with the baby to get rid literally. Of the crowd.
No, there's, like, kids, like, dodging you. And I was, like, trying to be careful because there's literally people holding newborn babies. And I was like, I'm going to kill a baby today.
I know for sure that if I were to ever become a mother, the first thing I want to do when I get out of the hospital is bring my infant to David Buster's. Go to David Buster's. And I'm going to sit my ass at that Flappy Bird machine. And I'm going to go to town.
It's kind of a rite of passage.
I'm going to put their faces right up against the Flappy Bird machine and the screen and let them know what their life's about to be like.
Yeah, and you're there 3 days a week.
At Dave and Buster's 3 days a week?
Yeah.
Yeah, and why not? Fuck it. I'm going to be drunk as hell. If I'm going to become a mother, are you kidding me? You have to be drunk as hell. Oh, my God.
Do you think? Or at least high. No, I feel like I could do a better job high.
Stoned, like stoned or like high? Like Xanax high?
No, like stoned. Just like a smidge. You know, okay, just like a couple puffs off of. You're not referring to opiates.
I just had to be clear.
No. Maybe when they're like teens, but not when they're babies. You have to be like.
Oh my God. Yeah. There. The second those kids hit like eighth grade, you got to get a Xanax prescription. You don't have a choice.
A Xanny and a glass of wine. Holy shit.
That's how I wake up.
That's my dream life.
I have a naked butler come in my room with a silver platter of a singular glass of white wine and a Xanax bar. That's how I start.
That's a beautiful, beautiful start to your morning.
And then I shitpost for a living. And that's it.
You kind of do, though.
No, I know.
I do. Okay. Is that part of the bit?
No, I'm a professional shitposter. You guys can thank me for all the clay crushing content that I got through today. It was exhausting. Wait,
what's this carrying the team cardigan that you're wearing?
Speaking of being a switch mom. Gears.
Yeah, you look like, you know how it's always like, you know, Big Little Lies.
Where's
like
my alimony, cardigan?
Yeah.
Divorce on my mind. What can I say? Wait, speaking of opioids, do you have any? Just kidding. Speaking of opioids, did you finish Euphoria?
Oh my God, I did finish Euphoria. Okay, did you finish Euphoria?
No, I have two episodes. I have two episodes left.
Oh my God, stop, dude.
I heard the finale is really disappointing.
So didn't give what it needed to give, dude.
It's not giving.
It was sad. It's not giving. And I don't know if Sam Levinson just can't help but suck his own dick, but he needs a fucking writer's room. Like, what are you doing?
He's the only writer.
I cannot confirm that. All I know is that I keep seeing tweets being like, why does Sam Levinson not have a writer's room? Like, he is brilliant, but he doesn't have anyone to keep him in check. Again, like, I did not fact check this.
Wait,
I get all my news from Twitter.
Also, I'm going to change my Wi-Fi. Please hold. Okay, wait. I'm fact checking this.
Okay. Because here's the thing. Like, the plots... I don't want to call them brilliant. I think more than anything, the show is just very cinematically beautiful.
Okay, also it's an adaptation of an Israeli show. So we can't give Mr. Sam Levinson all the credit.
Did not know
that. But I do think it looks like he was the writer of all the episodes and he directed three of them.
Oh my God. Yeah, I think that it's a beautiful show to watch. It keeps me entertained, which is that not what TV's for? Everyone always has scathing critiques, which it's not that I don't agree with them, but I just think, you know, it's TV that we watch. Like, maybe we can just chill a little and not everyone needs to know every thought you're thinking about everything you see.
Also,
I literally have a podcast.
I mean, it's not like the West Wing, you know, it's not the like,
this isn't Sopranos. Fucking Succession.
Like, it's not Succession. Well, to be fair, I mean, it is like an HBO show and they get crazy numbers, like way higher than Succession, I think.
It was the most tweeted about show like in the history of ever, I think.
Yeah, Twitter's been ruining my experience of this show because I already know everything that fucking happens and I still have yet to watch the last two episodes. Like, yeah, I already know what's his face died. Spoiler alert, sorry. But
sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah, wait, didn't Sam Levinson also do Malcolm and Marie?
I don't know. I haven't seen that
he
one.
He did. It's the one with, it's Zendaya. It's Zendaya. And Denzel Washington's son, John David Washington. And it was kind of bad. I'll be honest. Zendaya did a great job, as she always does.
Obviously.
Dude, she really, by the way, I just watched the episode where, like, the most unhinged episode I've ever seen in Euphoria, where she's running all around town and that whole beginning scene where she's just yelling the most horrible things ever to her family, and then Jules and what's his name, Dominic Fike, who, why Elliot? Is he in the show? Not sure.
Because he's hot.
I know him because of his music.
I know, me too. They were
like, who's a hot... You know what? I wonder if he paid them to let him on the show, because I bet his music career is like, he was like not super, super famous up until this, you know, whatever.
Really? But, I mean, whatever. I just want it on record though, right here now, that I was a fan. Like, I've been a fan, but whatever.
Okay. Pick me, Nicole Sparks again. I was just going to say, when she's running around or whatever, and there, that whole scene, I mean, she's done a great job this whole season, mm-hmm. but that whole like first half of the episode where she like literally busts through the door, she's saying horrible things, she's losing her mind, she's crying, mm-hmm. she's screaming, all mm-hmm. of that, like, dare I say, she put her whole zussy into that role. And she put her fucking Emmy nom
zussy. Oh my god, no, she's truly incredible. And I think that at least Sam Levinson wrote a script where it made the actors sort of perform at their peak, and like, it is very emotionally taxing to watch because you feel it, and everyone put their zussy in their parts. Like, everyone did such a good job, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. I don't know if Cassie put her cussy in there. She put her tussies in there.
Our queen? Are you disrespecting our queen? No, I love Sydney Sweeney. I love Sydney.
Well, you know what? It's not her fault. It's not her fault.
She
became the villain of the show.
Well, and I think she did a good job being the villain. And I also think that she wasn't like that dynamic of a character. Like, she didn't have like these like crazy motives. Like, all her motive was that like Nate was hot or whatever.
And I think... Yeah, you know what? I take it back. I'm not Sydney Sweeney, babe.
Baby.
Please listen.
Babe, wait, no. We all said some things.
Mommy, sorry.
I can only look at your titties. We're just quoting TikToks.
Because I'm trying to see them. A to the PM, double DM.
Because I need them.
No, Sydney Sweeney, babe.
No, I try so hard. Wait, sorry. I try so hard not to objectify Sydney Sweeney in every episode. I'm like, can I listen to your titties, please?
No, it's incredible. They're really, really beautiful. She is also a great, great actress.
Yes,
it's not
yes.
her fault that Cassie... She did a really good job. And like I said, I'm regretting saying that in that... I understand where they were going with her character. I wish they could have mm-hmm. given her a little more depth.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I feel that. Maybe that is a good enough motive, just like wanting to be loved. And she's clearly incredibly like insecure and traumatized by her relationship with her father and by her abortion, yeah. blah, blah, blah. Also, spoiler alert. Sorry, I'm like 20 minutes too late on that. But
yeah, no, I hear you. And that's what I think makes Rue Zendaya's character very unique, is that like, you empathize with her so hard in that episode that you just watched, even though she's like screwed over so many people, and she, you know,
I mean, she's literally going through heroin withdrawal. Like, I can't even imagine. I don't even like having a headache. Like, I can't imagine.
Oh my God, no.
Also, they fucked over Barbie Ferreira. This is old news, but her character, I loved her in the first season. I thought Kat was so interesting to watch.
She literally had like four lines.
She did nothing, and they made her look so bad. Also, Alexa Demi, marry me. The gun scene.
Oh my God, literally brought me to tears. Also, like, fucking trigger warning next time. Like, that was scary.
Okay. Well, sorry if you don't
watch Euphoria.
Because that was probably didn't make any sense to you. And now you're going to know what happens if you do watch Euphoria. But if I have to, then so do you. I've been subjected to the Twitter and TikTok spoilers for years now.
It's a cool sound moment.
It really is.
Wait, I also, my last like little thought is I thought it was very fun, and I forgot how much I loved watching shows like week to week, because I feel like we're in the age of binging and like everything just comes out all at once, and it was fun to be like, oh my God, it's Sunday, I can't wait to watch my episode of Euphoria.
That's how I feel about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City through the whole week. That's like what I do on Sunday. Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's how you watch Succession after the fact, but that's how the last season of Succession was. And it was really, it was like bonding too. I mean, I think that's the same thing like with Euphoria. Like every Sunday I'd watch Succession, and then I'd go on Twitter and see what everyone was saying and see what everyone was like.
Yeah. Hear the critiques. Yeah.
It was fun. It's like we're all bonded.
I didn't watch Game of Thrones, but I feel like that was like a huge draw there, where it was just like such a community. And Netflix, if you're listening.
Netflix, if you're listening.
Wait, you did? Should I stick with it?
No, I watched the first like five seasons, and then I was like kind of over watching women. They exclude all, there's like a gazillion sex scenes, right? And every single time,
all the women are just like raped.
Doggy. No, it's always in doggy style.
Oh, really?
I don't know why I couldn't get past that. Something about that like really bothered me. Like, I was just so tired of doggy style. And yeah, there was a lot of rape and violence, that too. But if I'm being really honest with you, mostly was that I was just so tired of seeing chicks on their hands and knees. Not there's, I mean, whatever, do doggy style. I know that that's like a pretty popular position.
Yeah. It's like the number two position.
But it's not the only one.
No,
it's because there is like set in like maybe doggy. The like hypothetical Middle Ages doesn't mean that everyone was only doing doggy style.
No.
Did you notice
pretty
that?
Like,
it was, I swear to God.
I watched like three episodes, so I just like don't know that it's for me.
It's so violent, so graphic. The writing and the acting is incredible.
Yeah,
truly, the first four seasons they killed it. Once you get into season five and stuff, you're like, it's just not worth all the violence and the like graphic shit anymore. At least for me, I was like, I don't need to poison my sweet little brain anymore.
No, like, dude, that stuff, like,
a good show.
I like am like a little pussy. Like, that stuff affects me. It like gives me nightmares just like visualizing that shit and violence, and like, I don't know, I'm just like such an empath, and it just like gets to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, Euphoria, it's one thing I'm like, okay, yeah, I can watch drug abuse, whatever.
I can watch people get OD on drugs. I don't want to watch people get like, you know, take a hammer to the skull.
No, that was the thing. I mean, even sometimes Euphoria, I mean, there's a lot of sexual abuse in that too, and that's really hard to watch. But yeah, Game of Thrones was next level in terms of like, you see people die in ways that are just unimagined, ways you didn't
just
even
so
think
gruesome.
Like, yeah, it's,
can you believe that there used to be like public hangings and people would just go watch someone be hanged like in the town square?
That's the original cancel culture.
Yeah, you think it's bad now because you get canceled on Twitter? People got hanged.
We're all just a bunch of little snowflakes now, and we can't handle a little internet cancellation when people used to literally be hung, babes. I'm just kidding. Cancel culture is bad. We should probably stop that too.
Yeah.
Speaking you seem in favor of cancel culture?
I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, there's levels. Like, you can't say someone was canceled when they've committed literal assault.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
like, yeah. If someone said the R word, like, in a YouTube video in 2007, it's like, yeah, you can cancel them, but, like, it's not the same weight as, like,
yeah, exactly.
Assault is my point.
So true, queen.
So, like, to say I'm for it or against it, like, that's just not what it is. Like, it's just, you know.
I'm all for
inconsequential.
It, let the record show. totally for it. All right. Well, speaking of
incredible
shit.
Scripts.
You know what's better than Euphoria?
The Vampire Diaries,
maybe? Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
I think so. That's
okay.
The title of our little epi. It's season 2, episode 17.
Know thy 17? Enemy. I feel like this is getting a little giggly. Cheyenne and I have been drinking wine.
No, I had like a huge glass of wine, and now I don't know what's gonna happen to me. I don't know what's about to happen the rest of this.
Know thy enemy. Cool.
So true. I'm always saying
okay.
That. I'm literally always saying that. Every day I'm like, you know thy enemy.
Yeah.
Or like
your friends
so
close.
Wise.
Do you have any enemies?
Yeah, for sure. Do you?
Yeah, like not a ton, but like definitely like a couple.
I could probably name a couple of yours, I think.
Yeah. And if
you
you're listening to this,
a couple of mine.
Yeah,
I think it's
Cheyenne's really coming for you, bitch.
I think it's important to have a couple enemies, right?
Yeah,
but I don't think you should keep them closer. I think you should keep them as far away from you as possible.
Yeah, I think you should block them on everything.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the block.
Oh my god,
sorry.
I love blocking an enemy.
Obsessed with blocking people.
Wait, did you that TikTok that was like, wait, oh my god, wait, can I just listen to it so
Take
I can say
time.
It to you? It's really important, trust me, because it's gonna slap. And I want to be able to, well, I'm just gonna play it out loud for everyone. Hold
Thank
on.
God.
Do I support Putin? Yeah. I support Putin, these nuts all over your forehead.
As but Putin, these nuts all over your forehead.
Stop the memification of war. But like, that's all funny. This is where I struggle so badly with this. It's not one way or the other, but like, that was funny.
Yeah,
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Anyways, all right.
Thanks
so on
sharing.
To the vampires. Yeah. No, you're welcome. As you may recall, Isabel shows up on Elena's doorstep. And she's like, may I come in? And Jenna's like, bitch, no, what the fuck?
Jenna's a little bit surprised to be seeing her boyfriend's supposedly dead ex-wife show up at the door. And I love that we start the episode with Elena once again just ruining everyone's life by being a conniving little bitch. Like, she knew that Isabel was alive this whole time. She knew that Alaric was lying to Jenna, and she was like, not my business.
No, literally, like, I feel like the biggest lesson we can learn from this is just, like, always tell people the truth. Like, if you keep secrets, it's just gonna get bigger and bigger until it blows up in your face.
You should always tell people the truth unless it's just like a little bit uncomfortable for you. And then you should.
Oh my God. No.
And
yeah.
Then you should hide it from them for sure. For sure. For sure.
I don't like confrontation. So if it involves any sort of like confrontation or like speaking to the person, communicating,
then keep it from them.
Then
don't
do it, babes. All right.
Jenna's really mad. Isabel's like, can
really
I come
mad.
Jenna and Elena both at the same time are like, no, you can't fucking come in. They slam the door in her face. Jenna runs upstairs. She doesn't want to talk to Elena because it seems as though Elena has known this whole time. She does the whole like crying slide down the wall thing.
Yeah. Have you ever done that IRL?
I, I think, well, I was wondering, I asked myself that when I watched that, to be honest with you, I literally wrote this down. I don't think I ever have. Have you?
I don't believe so, because here's my thinking is I know for a fact I've never slammed a door because I'm not a door slammer.
You've never slammed a door?
No, I think it's just like control your emotions, babe. You know what I mean?
Oh, I used to get yelled at for slamming doors in my house. I used to slam doors like it was my job.
But I feel like in order for it to be a really successful, like, cry, slide down the door, you have to slam the door first. Like, you can't, like, gently latch the door closed and then be like, and, like, slide down.
So true.
So yeah, for that reason, really, I don't.
That'd be really psychotic. Really lame if you just, like, gently shut the door and then threw yourself against it. No, I mean, I don't think I necessarily have done that, but I really would like to try it sometime. Dare I say I might try it tonight.
You should.
I'll get myself worked up over something, I'm sure.
I can always get myself worked up.
Easy.
Easy. Crying over nothing.
Give me 10 minutes with CNN. Just 10 minutes. Throwing myself against the door. But yeah, Jenna is really upset. And for good reason. That's insane.
Yeah.
Elena calls Stefan, Damon, and Alaric, her three boyfriends.
her three boys.
To tell them what happened.
And then Catherine is there with Stefan and Damon, and she's like, oh, OMG. Don't let Isabel know that I'm here, because I don't think she knows that I'm here. And John doesn't know that I'm here. Therefore, I can help you, and no one will know that I'm helping you.
Yeah, she's back to being hot, thank God. Also, she's done, like, straightening her hair and pretending to be Elena. So she's back in her curls and her bosoms are bosoming.
I don't know what push-up bra she's wearing, but...
Yeah, drop the link, babe.
Dude, holy... I mean, like, how do they... She's not working with much.
Mm-mm.
But somehow they've got them pushed up to her chin.
Yeah, fully. I wonder if they, like, stuff it. Maybe it's the bombshell bra, perhaps.
Yeah, but I'm like, you can only do so much with what you have, right?
Do you remember the iconic Jenna Marbles video of her? I literally remember watching that and being like, I have to pee.
I'm horny.
Jenna Marbles video where she's like, how to trick people into thinking you have huge boobs, and she just spent like a 12-minute video just like putting like 7 pairs of socks in her.
Oh my God. Did you ever put socks in your bra?
I was more of a toilet paper gal.
Really? Does that give you like the volume you need?
Oh no. When I was doing the toilet paper thing, that was just like for fun. Like when I was wearing like a cami, like, or a training bra, I was curious to see what I would look like.
Right.
Where I'd actually have boobs.
Right.
But I guess in my years of actually having boobs, I don't think I ever have tried that. Okay, so tonight I'm putting socks in my bra and I'm crying and sliding down the wall.
Are you writing this down? This is a lot to remember.
This is a lot to remember. I know. I think I'll be okay, because you know what's gonna happen is I'm gonna try and put the socks in my bra and it's not really gonna do that much for me. So then immediately after is when I'll do the sliding down the wall crying situation.
Okay. This is such a good plan. I'm so excited.
Me too. Yeah, Catherine's hot.
Yeah.
Jenna yells at Alaric and Elena. They deserve it. John shows up because he's still like living at Elena's place.
Daddy John, by the way.
Right. Elena's daddy, John, who knocked up mommy Isabel.
Yes.
It's all very complicated. Technically, he's Elena's uncle to her, but he's also technically her dad. Alaric punches him, and then Elena says that it's all his fault, which, am I like not remembering something correctly? Like, it's not all his fault. It's Elena and Alaric's fault. They are the ones that lied to her. Or to Jenna.
I think he was just like being masculine and just like punched him.
I think they were deflecting. I don't know.
Yeah.
He could have just like punched the wall like every other dude, you know?
Yeah, right? Caroline's really worried about Matt because last time she saw Matt, she told him that she was a vampire and he like ran out of the room very distraught, which, you know, fair enough.
Pretty dramatic about it.
He is.
She has called him about a billion times and he hasn't answered. And mm-hmm. he is really mad because he thinks that because Caroline's a vampire, he thinks that she and her like vampire friends are the ones that killed Vicky, which
I mean
is wait, true.
Who killed Vicky again?
Stefan.
Oh, right.
Because she was gonna kill Elena.
Right. Yeah.
So Matt's really pissed. He goes to Sheriff Ellen DeGeneres and he's like, I know you covered up how Vicky actually died.
Yeah, he's like, I want to see her files. Which is like so scary and aggro.
Okay.
Like, chill, dude. Get over it. You know what I mean?
Literally get over the death of your sister. It's been like a whole year.
It's been like 6 months.
Shut up. Yeah. Sheriff Ellen really tops him. She like pins him to the back of her car, tells him to calm down. It's a whole thing. Apparently mm-hmm. she takes him back to her house and tells him to calm down.
Which AKA is Caroline's house, lest everyone forgot. Because I forgot, he was like, oh, your mom brought me here. And I was like, wait, what? And then I was like, oh,
they really don't have mother-daughter vibes at all. They're hardly ever in the same room.
They're just both blonde, which makes me be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They might be related.
All blondes are related.
I mean, that is facts.
Caroline... There's a Subaru ad in the middle of this episode. She gets in her Subaru and like so unnecessarily does the like
voice call.
Voice call.
She's like, call Matt.
And she doesn't get him, obviously. She doesn't reach him. So she goes home. She finds Matt there. And Matt's like, I just want you to tell me everything that happened with Vicky, start to finish. I'm still really scared of you. I still think you might have killed my sister, blah, blah, blah. So she tells him everything. And she says, I'm really sorry and I love you. And I'm sorry about what happened with Vicky. It wasn't me, blah, blah, blah. He's really distraught, obviously.
Yeah.
And he asked her to make him forget.
Yeah, everything. She's like, what can I do? Like, literally tell me what I can do to make this right. And he's like, I just want you to make me forget everything that ever happened. I don't want to know. I don't know. To me, it's like just like get like kiss and make up, like get over it sort of thing.
I know. Like, why?
I do feel like he's being dramatic. Truly, though.
He's being a little bit dramatic. Well, he goes behind her back.
Oh, yeah. Well, he does go behind her back because he had ingested vervain. So actually, he cannot be compelled. But she doesn't know that. So she tries to compel him.
He immediately jumps into her mom's cop car and tells her everything that Caroline said. And they're both like, oh, she's dead to us.
What a little snitch.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
You're going to tell Sheriff Ellen?
Yeah, dude.
Huge bummer. Also, not this shit again. We already did this. Like, we've already done the whole thing where Sheriff Ellen finds out.
Yeah, and I thought she forgave her. Like, I thought that they were chill.
No, but remember, they compelled her to forget.
Yeah, but I thought that they were like... So what made her distrust Caroline in the first place? Because I thought she was like,
it's all Matt's fault, really.
Jeez.
Well, you know what? Actually, everything is Elena's fault, but this, like, secondarily is Matt's fault. So
it's just collateral.
Yeah. Uncle John literally invites Isabel into Elena's house and convinces Elena and Stefan, who are probably like playing tonsil hockey upstairs, to come downstairs and listen to what she has to say. Apparently, she knows that Klaus might be around, and there's rumors that he wants Elena because she's a doppelganger, blah, blah, blah. She's like,
everyone wants Elena. We get it.
Yeah, it's annoying. Isabel, I guess, decided that she actually cares about Elena, which I guess is cool of her. But she offers Elena a safe house. She basically bought a house and put it in Elena's name so that Elena has to decide who's invited in and who's not, to like keep her safe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because all the vampires are after her. But turns out she is a little backstabber too. But I just want to say that I never trusted her for even 1 second.
No, she's far too sexy.
Wait, I like don't think so. I think her voice is really annoying.
Her voice is really annoying. She's had a hard time sexy in this episode. But the first one, she was really sexy, don't you think?
Yeah, I remember her being like beautiful, and I don't know, they gave her like whack side bangs, and
the side bangs fucked it up for sure.
I couldn't get past her like weird voice.
Dude, Bella Hadid's been wearing a side part recently, and I genuinely want to kill her. Like, why is she doing that to us?
It's coming back. It's coming back. And I was like, a side part?
I don't want her to do that to me.
But the whole lesson that I've learned from that is just, like, part your hair how you want it, because it's going to change in 3 years.
Right. But to be honest, I kind of stigmatize people with side parts.
Why? Is like, they're, like,
it just doesn't look as good, I don't think.
It's hard because it does look good on her, but it does not look good on everyone.
Of course, she's Bella Hadid. She's had like $1 million of work from Dr. Miami. Everything looks good on her.
Exactly. And so these, like, you know, fives are going to be misled and think that they're going to look good with a side part, but they won't. And then it's going to be the norm.
Anyways, they did give her really whack side bangs, so yeah, that's probably part of it. But
thank you, Elena, for updating me.
Elena doesn't want the house, which, like, take the house, babe.
I know, but she also smells that Isabel's fishy as fuck.
Yeah, that's true, but whatever. That gives Stefan and Damon the idea to, like, put their house under her name.
Yes.
They just end up doing that.
Yeah. Which protects her, because then she can't let other vampires in if she doesn't want to. But
now she can like cuck them even harder by literally being so the name on their mortgage.
On their lease or whatever. Their mortgage, I guess.
I don't think they're renting it.
I don't know. The whole house thing is so crazy to me, because I'm like, wait, they're literally vampires. Like, just because you're like, you can't come in my house, then they just like can't come in. Like, actually, I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
That's just how the show works, Nicole. I don't know what to tell you. Okay. A lot of things don't make sense.
You're right.
Deal with it. Get used to it, babe. Life is tough. Okay.
So
I hate this part.
Yeah, that makes sense, because Jeremy's involved. So Damon, Bonnie, and Jeremy go to the Martins' house because they're looking for the grimoire. Remember, the Martins both died, which is tragic.
Yeah, Luca.
They were the witches.
Luca and his, what was his dad's name? I already forgot.
It was
okay. Luca and his dad died, and their bodies are literally just like decaying in their apartment.
Yeah.
But Bonnie goes because she needs to get their freaking grimoire or whatever.
And Jeremy goes because he's licking Bond's puss. And then Damon goes because, I don't know, they need like a supervisor or something.
Damon just loves to stick his nose into everything. But
yeah,
Bonnie is trying to channel the power from all the dead witches. She's like, there's this spot in town, I don't quite know where it is, where a bunch of witches were massacred. And Damon's like, oh, you mean the old Lockwood estate?
Yeah.
Just say it's a fucking plantation.
We know it's a plantation. We know
it
is.
Stop calling it an estate. Also, can you believe that people got married, or people still get married at like old
plantations? I mean, they are sort of beautiful. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, no, it's super bad. Oh my God. Sorry. Hold on. Let me just get my dog.
Get your little rascal, please.
They
go to the fucking plantation.
Yeah.
Which obviously there's going to be a lot of like weird ass energy there. It's a plantation.
They're feeling a lot of energy, and the energy doesn't really like Damon very much. No. It keeps like, it like basically pushes him out of the house.
Vibe check. Yeah. And
he did not pass the vibe check.
So it's just Jeremy and Bonnie, and there's a bunch of like whispering in her ear of like all the different like hundreds of dead witches' spirits. And she's screaming and shit. And Jeremy can hear it, which is
weird. Yeah.
Because he has a sinister energy himself.
He does. This is true. But yeah, so she talks to all the witches, and basically they tell her that in order for her to kill an original, aka Klaus, she will need to harness all of their energy as well as her energy, and it very well could kill her.
Yeah. And Jeremy's really mad because I think he's probably tired of all his ex-girlfriends being dead.
Which, like, fair enough.
Which is, like, totally fair. But she is, like, it's kind of up to me if I'm going to die or not. Sorry.
She pulls in Elena because she's,
yeah,
like,
yeah, fully, fully.
She's, like, it's better for everyone. Like, I want to make the decision to do that. Like, I'm protecting you, too. You don't get that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like there must be a better way, but perhaps not.
Bonnie boundaries Bennett. That's for sure. Love that for her. Set your boundaries, queen. If you want to kill yourself, kill yourself.
Don't let anyone
stop. And don't let anyone stop you. Just kidding. That's like, I
don't do that.
I don't kill yourself.
Don't.
Bonnie, you're so sexy.
So sexy. Uh-huh.
But she is kind of, she's traded places with Elena, and that now she's on a death mission. And I'm kind of over everyone like having a pissing contest on like who's the most selfless.
Yeah, like stop being a martyr. Just like,
why don't you just move? Why don't they just fucking move?
Just move. Just move.
They should move to like Wyoming, Brazil or something. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, like go take a little trip. Like, get lost in Mexico.
Like, maybe develop a case of incurable wanderlust. Have you ever considered that?
Oh my god, my wanderlust is so cured. I like have no desire to wanderlust.
But you don't want to wander? You don't have a lust for wandering anymore?
I literally don't. I want to go to like my local grocery store and back home, and that's it.
I get it. So Isabel is staying in like this big stupid mansion, and so she goes home.
This dumb big mansion.
Dummy big mansion. And I would say that T-Pain would consider rhyming it with Wisconsin. Catherine's so, there waiting for Isabel. The two of them,
they have like a little brawl. Are they
fucking?
I think they might be. They like have a very intimate hug. They like fake each other out, and they're like fake mad, and they're like, haha, just kidding. And then they hug.
And then they start drinking wine.
They drink wine in these like big ass glasses together. And basically, Isabel tells Catherine that all she needs is the moonstone and the doppelganger. And then she has a deal with Klaus that Catherine will be set free. And so Catherine's like, oh word, I'm gonna switch teams then, and I don't want to be with Damon and Stefan. Like, I'm just on the winning team. That's all this is, babe.
Really good choice. Yeah, so Isabel's been lying every which way, and she's like, okay Catherine, just like give me the moonstone and then we'll be all set. So Catherine goes back. She's looking everywhere for the moonstone.
Little does she know,
part of the series, because I watched it when my like frontal lobe was jello. Mm-hmm. This particular scene is ingrained in my brain of her
really
washing her hands in the bathroom. Yes, for some reason, because it's just so weird. She's washing her hands in the bathroom. They have this like big chalice in the Salvatore mansion full of different bars of soap. Like, it looks like the soap stand in Whole Foods where they have all the, like, homemade, like, oatmeal soap. And it's, like, cut in different shapes and sizes and colors.
Yeah.
She goes to wash her hands, and all of a sudden she digs in the bars of soap and finds the moonstone.
It's very random. Also, what a horrible place to hide.
Are they stupid?
Damon is stupid, yes. Yeah.
Like, what? They thought they could hide it in their, like, on their lush counter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So he's like, this is my night serum. This is my toner.
Yeah, and then when you find the moonstone during your Harper Bazaar, get ready for bed with me YouTube video.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jesus Christ.
So they kind of like make this plan. And Isabel goes to the Lockwood Mansion, which, by the way, while they're at the Lockwood Mansion, they are doing this like ceremony wherein Elena's getting a check from Mrs. Lockwood for something.
Oh, it's like a scholarship.
I believe. Good for her. I don't know.
Yeah, there has to be some sort of stupid event every episode. Elena is wearing a heinous wrap dress, by the way, in case anyone's
so
wondering.
Ugly. So
Van von Furstenberg would literally have a hernia if she were to see it.
Yeah. But,
and then they create a distraction, basically. So while Elena's accepting the check, Isabel shows up. She finds John, and the distraction that they've chosen is throwing him down the stairs.
Yeah.
So she chucks John down the stairs. Obviously, that's pretty distracting. I think if I were to be somewhere and someone were to get thrown down the stairs, I'd probably be, you know,
distracted.
It would change where my attention's going. and so everyone runs to
help see if John.
He's okay.
And everyone's like, oh, he's dead. But he's not dead because he's wearing like the ring that like makes him alive.
he's wearing a stupid ring.
Yeah. So he,
whatever.
He literally is dead, but he will be fine ultimately, which is like kind of a huge bummer.
I'm alive, but I'm dead.
I'm alive, but I'm dead.
Like, I'm alive, but I'm dead. Kind of.
He
like
literally
that.
Said, I'm alive, but I'm dead.
He started that whole trend. Catherine goes and gets Elena alone and. Does she knock her out and get her? She swaps clothes with her at some point to pretend to be her.
Yeah, she just like puts her hand over her mouth. It's very like homoerotic. And then she takes her to like a closet. Also, like, I don't know. There's a lot of like symbolism.
Don't be shy. Drop the deleted scene.
If you could, let me ask you this. Let me ask you something. If you had a doppelganger of yourself, would you bang yourself?
Yeah.
Really? I think I would too.
Because
you know what you want. Like, do you think it, like, okay, from a guy's perspective, like, is it gay to bang? Is it gay to, like, go down on yourself?
Fellas.
Fellas.
Is it gay to suck your doppelganger's dick? I mean, I am pretty straight, I would say. And I would just be curious. I want to see what it looks like from a different angle.
Ooh, now that you said that, I'm out. I do not want to see myself from a different angle in the slightest. I don't want to see what I look like.
Self-awareness is a tricky, tricky temptress for sure. And you don't want to get too close to being self-aware.
No,
you don't. Things get really freaky. That's what all the therapists say. They say, you know, the less self-aware, the better. So.
Ignorance is truly bliss.
So, yeah, you know what? I don't know. I'd have to see her first. I'd have to see if I'm hot or not because I don't really know what I actually look like.
True. People say, like, if you saw, like, literally yourself walking down the street, you wouldn't be able to recognize yourself, which I don't know because I feel like we're so, like, surrounded by mirrors and selfies and all this stuff. Like, I feel like I have a good idea about what I look like, but also perhaps not because my driver's license photo does not look like me.
I look completely different in the mirror than I do in like a selfie, I think.
So all about those angles, babe.
I think I look better in the mirror than
I do too. It's like more authentic. Other than the selfie I took the other day.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Let me just plug Nicole's Instagram really quick.
Wait, it's no.
Okay.
I just,
sorry.
Like, can I just like make it my like screensaver? Like, is that, can it's I make my own selfie my screensaver?
Nicole took the selfie to end all selfies. It's literally incredible. My jaw dropped. My knees were weak.
Dude, I it's can't all about
rung that on us.
I'm sorry, like I will give myself credit, like that's fine, like I'm fine looking, but but the lighting in my apartment around like 1:30 p.m. oh my God, like ring light. Yeah. Who
no shook the house boots on Houston. I'm deceased. Like it really, it, I think that selfie ripped a hole in the space-time continuum.
Barack Obama is still president in this, like, time period.
Dare I say the butterfly effect of that selfie, I think we're, it's going to be reverberating for years to come.
So stop.
I mean it. I mean, oh, I had to, my I had God. To sit down. I had to sit down.
Oh my God.
So do with that what you will.
Anyway, thanks for the hype, Sesh. I did need that, and I was asking for compliments. So,
Catherine and Elena switch clothes.
Oh,
Elena,
yeah.
Elena gets chucked in the back of Isabel's SUV.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine's wearing Elena's clothes and pretending to be her. She goes with Stefan. Stefan figures out pretty soon that it's Catherine,
mm-hmm.
And she injects him with Vervain. And then goes back to Isabel's yeah. house to find her. She, like, her.
Pushes him into a bush.
She also throws him into a bush, which I loved to see that. They hate to see a girl boss winning, you know?
They literally do. Catherine is nothing but a girl boss. She nothing if not a girl boss.
Girl boss. Elizabeth Holmes, who? we have to talk about Elizabeth
we
Holmes.
We had to. Oh, my gosh. They're having. Wait, who's playing her? Amanda Seyfried. So good. When does it come out? This week? I need a new show.
I don't know.
Okay. Should, the Dropout. Everyone will be talking about it soon to come. Keep listening. Tune in next week.
Okay. Yeah. We can watch it and talk about it. She throws in a bush. This is Catherine. She goes to Catherine's house. And she goes to Isabel's house, and Isabel's mm-hmm. not there, but some random, like, large spy looking man is, and he mm-hmm. beats the shit out of her.
Yeah.
So that's a bummer. Isabel calls Catherine and says she's sorry, but basically that she handed over Catherine to Klaus, and Klaus wanted the moonstone and Catherine. And so,
yeah, she was like, psych, we actually don't need the doppelganger, bitch. We just needed you, which is sad. But also, like, it's sort of fun to see Catherine get beat at her own games.
It's true. But it doesn't really end great for Isabel, though, because she has the SUV pull up to a cemetery, and she has Elena come out with her, and they're talking, and she shows Elena her grave, which this is just all very dark. She's like, oh, my parents, you know, put this grave up for me when, you know, they never found my body. And I'm sure the person that I was before I turned into a vampire probably would have, like, really liked being your mom. But instead, I'm a vampire and I don't really give a fuck about you.
Yeah. Like, they're like, that girl is dead. So she does deserve this gravestone because I'm a vampire now and I'm a different girlie. And she also reveals that, like, she was basically compelled this whole time, and she did what she needed to do by giving Klaus or Klaus's, like, people Isabel.
Klaus is literally the international man of mystery. He is Mr. Worldwide.
He's Mr. Worldwide. He is.
305. And she's but like,
she's like, you're safe, girl. Like, go be free. Like, fly away. And she apologizes, dude, and then she rips off her necklace, which is keeping her protected from the sun, and she, like, bursts into flames in front of Elena in broad daylight, mind
We're
you
2 for 2 for characters literally bursting into flames. What a way to go. She literally tells her daughter that she's sorry for being a disappointment and then lights herself on fire.
It's kind of tragic, but also, she like, really sort of beautiful. The mic. He did.
Elena, like, I guess it shows Elena later with the necklace. She like plucked it up from her birth mother's like charred like ashes. Body, which is so gnarly.
Yeah.
Okay, the final scene.
Yeah.
Could anything have prepared you for this?
No.
Was the show already weird enough that you were like, this might as well happen?
No, I was definitely shocked, but also I was just like, where else could they possibly go from here? Yeah. So basically what happens was Catherine wakes up. Keep in mind, she just got beat the fuck up. And she's in Alaric's apartment for some reason.
Yeah.
And there's this motherfucker, Maddox,
I think. I love that they never once say his name in the episode. And that's just yeah. from, like, the Wikipedia synopsis. Yeah.
But his name is Maddox. And he's a witch. And he's, like, doing a spell. Also, he's white,
Oh my god, yeah, our first white witch.
He's a white witch.
Oh my god, I love representation. what a huge step forward for the white community. That's exactly what we need.
Fine, after years of being oppressed in the witch space.
Totally, yeah. No, that's true, and it's been very problematic. They've like exclusively cast black actors as witches.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the token white witch.
He's the token white witch. He is performing some sort of like what looks like a blood transfusion on Alaric and like has his hands around his skull and is like speaking in tongues. Huge bummer. Snow Patrol is playing during this whole thing.
Oh my god, I love Snow Patrol.
Like it was so otherworldly to be
sign here. Of the times, yeah.
He's casting some sort of spell on Alaric. Catherine gets up and tries to run away. Mm-hmm. Alaric runs up to her and like pushes her against the wall and starts speaking in what can only be described as like a Germanic accent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's calling her Katerina. He's saying, "You missed her. I can't even do the voice." And her eyes widen and she goes, "Klaus."
Dude, okay, so basically I guess Maddox implanted Klaus into Alaric. It feels very like Harry Potter Voldemort, like sort of like that sort of a situation. Fellas. I don't know, for me I'm just like, I'm like, Klaus, like, show your face, like, what's the problem?
Fellas, is it gay to have an original 1,000-year-old vampire inside of you?
So then where did Alaric go? Is he just like repressed or something? Like repressed in his own body?
I don't know.
I
don't remember, to be honest with you. I forgot about this whole plot line.
Well, we're never going to find out.
Because this is our last episode, you guys.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Nicole and I got in a huge fight and
we just hate each other.
It's a whole call her daddy situation. Dave Portnoy's involved and
I'm walking away with a measly 5 mil and Cheyenne's getting 10, so IDK.
Is that what happened?
I don't know, something with money though, for real. I think she was like, oh, like, I'm doing more work, so I want to get paid more. And she was like, you don't even write your own jokes for the thing. Like, you're never prepared. And then they just, like, literally got in a fight. Like, a normal person fight.
Damn.
Except there was, like, millions on the line.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, they had a shitty podcast, and that's all I have to say about it.
One time, speaking of enemies, I have one enemy, and I will just say this really
quick. Oh, my God. Are you going to drop your enemies? Are we doxing?
No, I'm not going to dox, but I will say.
I'll name my number one enemy. It's Chrissy Teigen.
Anyway, I knew this girly and like she was just very like anything you said was just so inflammatory to her for some reason. And I once was like, oh, you know, I don't listen to Call Her Daddy. Like, I think it's kind of, you know, misogynistic and sexist and really like bad for women's images, and she was really upset with me and didn't talk to me for like 4 days
because I upset her side of history. She everything like that was the type of thing that would be inflammatory for her to hear.
And also, like, who cares? Like, I listen to inflammatory things too, and then you just be like, yeah, but it's entertaining. So, like, like, who cares?
Yes.
Like, I can take you, if you can't take critique on the media that you listen to, then, like, maybe you're not old enough to be listening to media.
Unless you're critiquing this podcast, then you can
rot in hell. Yeah, this is only good vibes.
But yeah, that's insane. I feel like there are certain things that, like, you should be able to be like, oh yeah, it kind of is like a little bit misogynistic, but whatever. I just like to listen to it and it's funny, or like, oh, I can see that take.
She took like, it as why would I was you saying ever that
be, why would you about... defend call her daddy with your life? Like, that is so embarrassing.
I'm, like, of all things to defend with your life, I was like, I feel like that's like a pretty universal take that it's like damaging. Yeah, like, I'm not like, yeah. This isn't like a crazy like take right now, but.
Yeah, you didn't call it like anti-Semitic or something. Like, you
yeah,
said.
And she's like, "Huh, I hadn't really heard that one before." I was like, "I think it's kind of sexist." And she's like, "Literally, how could you say that?"
She's like, "They taught me everything I know about the Gluck Gluck 9000."
Yeah.
Well, I hope whoever that is, I will be asking you to text me her name later. I hope that she's doing well.
I don't.
And Chrissy okay. Teigen, I hope you're having a really bad day.
So. Okay, fun. Well.
What? Do you want to kiss or something?
Kinda.
Do you want a forehead kiss or something?
I wish. Are you going to come visit me soon?
Yeah, I need to figure it out.
Let me know. We got a blow up mattress for you. Okay, we should say bye.
Okay, well, I love you so much.
I love you. Have a good night.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye. Mystic balls.